Romans chapter 12, verse 14, God tells us to bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Father, as we consider this passage of Scripture this morning, may you bless us with understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The last few weeks have been looking at a study that has come off of the phrase that you hear so frequently today, especially in the ecumenical circles, that doctrine divides and love unites. And so we're looking at love in the Christian perspective, biblical love, not the love you see demonstrated on the television set, not the love you read about in the romance novels or basically in any novel, but the love that God describes that you and that I as believers in Christ need to have and to demonstrate. Phil, I think I'm just a little bit loud. We saw a couple of weeks ago from Romans chapter 12 that the command believers have to love. Now, you would think it's kind of silly to be commanded to love. It's something we do naturally. But as we understand what love is all about, especially as we look at this passage this morning, we'll find that this love that God commands us is something that goes completely contrary to our human nature. But God calls the believer to live a life a little bit higher, a little bit better than the rest of the world. He wants us to shine as lights in a world of darkness. And if we just blend in, then we will be nothing more than darkness. And so God says your love must rise above that of the world. And so we're commanded to have this agape love, the love that only the believer can know, the love that God has first shared with us when He sent His Son to die on the cross on our behalf, that we might have eternal life. Last week we saw the five characteristics of love from Romans 12, 9 through 13. This morning, I want to move from that to seven demonstrations of extreme love, of extreme love. Now, this is a little bit different than what we saw last week. If you recall last week, the love we were talking about was primarily the love of the brethren, the love among believers. And the five characteristics that show that great love among ourselves as a church family. But as we move into the last section, the last portion of this passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 12, the gears change, the flow shifts just a little bit, and now He's talking to us about loving those that are outside of Christ. If you truly love with a biblical love, those who are outside of Christ, oftentimes it has to become an extreme love. Because to be honest with you, it's not always easy to love someone outside of Christ. If you saw a drunkard who was unkempt and dirty, hadn't been bathed for months, is it easy to love that one and do what they need to meet their needs, primarily sharing Christ with them, but doing all you can to help them? No, it's not easy to love someone like that. How about that coworker that is always just dishonest and deceitful? That coworker that has nothing good to say about you? That curses all the time, every other word is a curse word. Is it easy to love them? It shouldn't be. Not if you're a Christian. Not if the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart and as you hear Him blaspheming the name of Christ, blaspheming your own good name and reputation and character, the Holy Spirit ought to just burn within your soul because you're around and in the presence of someone so full of sin in their life. It calls for moments of extreme love. And so this morning I want to look at seven demonstrations of extreme love. How do we demonstrate agape love to those outside of Christ? Now, there's a couple things we need to preface with before we get into the seven demonstrations. First of all, I'm going to go to the conclusion here in this passage of Scripture. That's verse 21. The conclusion of the whole matter is to be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, this is a primary command. This is something that we all must always keep in mind when we're mixing company with the lost. Because they do things differently than what we do things. They think differently than what we, at least they ought to. If you think like the world, then you really need to examine your Christian life and your relationship with Christ. If you're no different than they are, if you watch the same shows they do, if you listen to the same music they listen to, if you dress the same way that they dress, then you really need to have a heart searching with God in your quiet time. As I said just a moment ago, we're to be the light of this world of darkness, showing the true light in heaven above, Jesus Christ. And so we're to not be overcome of evil. It's so easy to be like them because they're going to mistreat us. It's so easy to respond in like form when they do what they're doing. God says, don't do it. Don't even harbor the thoughts. Don't even imagine in your heart and in your mind what it would be like to get even with this one who has so tarnished your character and your reputation among your peers. Don't even think about and dream about and imagine about what it would be like to get even with that person. To do the same thing, because then you've been overcome. You've been overcome with evil rather than overcoming evil with good. Now that second phrase of that verse leads us to the second point we need to consider as to the seven demonstration of extreme love. And it answers the question, why bother? Why even bother? We bother simply because you can overcome evil with good. And when it's talking about overcoming evil with good, I don't think it just simply means that we win that lost one as our friend. I don't think it means that we win the battle and that coworker who's so hard to get along with gets fired. I think what he's talking about here when he says that you overcome evil with good is you win them to Christ because you've demonstrated an extreme love, a love against all odds. And so we're given the motivation. Why bother? The first way to demonstrate an extreme love for those who are lost is in verse 14, just simply be patient. Be patient. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand what God is trying to tell us here when He says for us to bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. In other words, when they're railing on you, when they're calling you names, when they're saying all kinds of things against you and at you and cursing all along the way, God says, don't respond in like manner. Don't raise your voice. Don't get angry. Don't say, well, I'll just get even. God says, take it to another level. Take it higher than that. He says, don't curse them. To curse them just simply means to want to get back at them, want to get even with them. In contrast, he says, bless them. Bless them. To bless them means to praise them or say something good about them. In Matthew 5:44, as we see the consistencies of the Scripture, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And so he gives us a little idea of what he means when he says to bless them. He talks about doing good to them. He talks about praying for them. And the word itself just means to speak well of. To speak well of. And so if we want to bring this down into a... We all understand the work setting. So illustrating what it means to bless them in the work setting rather than cursing them. Imagine yourself at break, talking to one of your friends at work. And in comes this person that you had difficulty getting along with in the workplace for whatever reason. And they walk right up to you. They stick their finger in their face. They just start letting go on a tirade, a verbal tirade, saying all kinds of things. calling you names and cursing and swearing and everything you can think of. And they're doing it right in your face, on break time, with your friend right there. You say, and determine in your heart, I'm going to be a good Christian about this. I'm not going to respond. I'm going to be patient with them, like the pastor was preaching about. And so you just sit there and you take it. They finally run out of hot air. They turn around and they leave. And your best friend or your friend there at work is just dumbfounded. Their jaws hanging down to about their knees. They look over at you and they say, what an idiot. And they start going on a verbal tirade against that person who just struck out at you. How will you then respond? Will you say, yeah, I know. He's just a dummy. You know, he is just the way he is. Everything he said was wrong. Man, he's just an idiot. I agree with you. Is that what you do? God says that's cursing them. That's cursing them. God says don't do it. God says don't even agree with your friend when he's telling you an obvious truth about that person who just responded in that way to you. You know what you need to say? If God is going to be your guide, if you're going to follow His Word, He will tell you, He tells you, in fact, He commands you. It's an imperative. Bless them. It's an imperative. It's not a choice. I also like the fact that He recorded it two times. Twice He says to bless them. And I think what God is understanding here is how difficult this is going to be for you to do. How difficult it is for me to do. As I said, it goes completely contrary to our human nature. It goes completely contrary to our culture. But God says, when you're given that verbal tirade, they turn around and they leave. It's just you and your friend. And your friend says, what an idiot. You say, yeah, but I kind of like him anyway. Rough around the edges, but you know, I see a lot of good in him. I believe I can win her to Christ. That's what God says. Say good things about. Don't agree with the bad things about them. This is agape love. This is something you won't read in any book written by any current day psychiatrist. This isn't anything you'll hear on the radio, but this is what God commands. What God commands. Not just don't say something bad about them, but say something good about them. You know, when they're lashing out on that verbal tirade, you know what you should do? When they finally said their piece, run out of steam, are expecting you to respond in some way, respond. Just pat them on the back or shake their hand and say, you know, I really appreciate you. We don't see eye to eye here, but I just really appreciate you. I don't understand where you're coming from, but I'm glad I work with you. They're not going to know what to say. They're going to think you're crazy. That almost makes it worth doing, doesn't it? Just to see the expression on their face. That's the way I would look at it. It's worth the adventure. Worth the adventure. But you know, this is God's way. God's way is always right. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so says. If he doesn't agree with what the Word of God says, then he's wrong. And if you want to work that relationship out, if you want to get that person who's such a pain in the neck all the time off your back, God says this is the way you do it. It's through this extreme love. It's not by lashing out. It's not by going to the boss and saying, you know what they did to me, and filing a suit against them, a complaint against them. That's not how you take care of it. God says the way you take care of it is you bless them. You bless them. Say good things about them. Be patient. That's the ultimate, I think, in patience. To be able to take it and then respond by saying good things. That's our first demonstration of extreme love. The second is in the next verse, verse 15. Be sympathetic. Sympathetic. Verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Now, going back to the same character who gave that verbal tirade and just ripped you up and down one side and down the other, there's going to come a time in life where they're going to be successful at something. Something good is going to come in their life, and on the same token, something bad is going to happen in their life as well. It's just a part of life, part of the ups and downs of living, of being a person in this world. It's going to happen. How do you respond? When they're weeping, do you sit back in the bleachers and laugh at them and say, man, I'm so glad you're getting what you do, buddy? God says, don't do that. God says, demonstrate some extreme love. Go up to them and say, hey, I know you're going through a rough time right now. Can I pray for you? Let them know you care. Say, is there anything I can do to help you with this situation? And if something good happens to them, congratulate them. Be happy for them. Rejoice with them and with all sincerity. Don't say it two-faced. If you're having trouble being sincere about it, pray to God and ask Him to help you. Say, Lord, this person really needs You as their Savior. And I'm really struggling here with my emotions and dealing with them. Help me to have this agape love that You want me to have, that You command me to have towards this individual. And I think the grace of God will flood your soul and you'll be amazed at the power of God, which is unlimited. Be sympathetic with the situations in their life. The third demonstration of an extreme love is just humility, being humble. Being humble in verse 16. He says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And all of that's what he's simply saying is be humble. Never think more of yourself than what you are. You know, there's some Christians in this world that I have met that think because they're a Christian, because they clean their life out by the grace of God, and they would admit that, but because they don't do certain things in life, they don't talk in a certain way, they don't dress in a certain way, that they are then better than people who do those things. Somehow they think that they become better as a human being. But God says, there's still none righteous. As He searched the earth, there's none righteous. No, not one. Not even that one who's cleaned up their life. Not even the one who's in church every time the doors are open. Not even the one that reads through their Bible several times a year. Not even that one who is so faithful in prayer that you all want them praying for you. God says they're no better than that drunken bum in his own filth out on the street in the gutter. God says, don't ever think you're better. Don't ever think you're better. It's only because of the grace of God that we become anything more or different than what they are. We're on our way to heaven. They're on their way to hell. Do you think it's going to help them to get on their way to heaven if you look down your nose at them? God says, don't do it. Be humble. And that's how you demonstrate extreme love. Considering them your equal. A fourth demonstration of extreme love we find in verse 17. And that's just to be honest. Be honest. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now I think the connection here between the two sentences in this verse, if you're going to get even with someone, you don't usually advertise, do you? You want to kind of do a sneak attack because it's so much more effective so that they don't see it coming and they're blindsided and they don't know how to respond. They don't have time to think. Now, how am I going to respond to what they're about to do to me? And so God says, just simply be honest. Be open with all people. He says, don't harbor this deceitfulness in your heart of how you're going to get back at them, how you're going to destroy them, how you're going to tarnish their character. You shouldn't be doing it in the first place, but just always be honest. If you're tired of them coming up and scoffing at you and cursing at you, don't hide the fact that you're a Christian. Be honest with them. Be honest with the fact that you care about them and that you care about their soul. Too many Christians try to blindside the lost into coming to Christ. And we need to be honest that we want to win them to the Savior. That they're going to hell and there's a heaven to gain. That they can avoid the fires of hell if they'll simply take Christ as their Savior. We need to tell them those truths. In all honesty, think about that for a minute. That person came into the room and just let off in their verbal tirade. They ran out of steam and you want to witness to them. And you said to them, now listen, friend, if you were to die tonight, do you think about that? You know, we need some compassion of how to do it. But we need to be honest that we want to win their soul for the Savior. A fifth demonstration of extreme love. I just simply call it be neighborly. Be neighborly in verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I like the way God stated that, the way He worded it. Because He realizes and He understands that you're not going to be able to be at peace with every person in this world, no matter how hard you try. But this verse simply says, is you better try. You better give it all you've got to live peaceably and resolve the issues, resolve the differences, find a happy medium where you can get along with that person because it's your responsibility because you're demonstrating extreme love as a Christian in the place of Christ, as His ambassador, as His spokesman. God says, Give it your best shot. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, he tells us, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. God says it's possible. It's possible. Sometimes we have that contention, that difficulty getting along with others because our heart's not right with God. Oftentimes, well, almost all the time, we point the finger at the other person. God says, do a little heart searching first. Make sure you're walking right with me. And when you're walking right with me and you're trying your best to get along with the others, 9 times out of 10, you'll be successful. He says, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. Be neighborly. A sixth demonstration of extreme love is simply be trusting. Be trusting. Now the trust here is not in the other person. It's in God Himself. Look what verse 19 says. Dearly beloved, I like the way the tone softens. The tenderness comes out through the Apostle Paul. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. The way it's stated here, they have every right to avenge themselves in human mind and human logic. He says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. In other words, let God take care of it. God will do a good job with it. He goes on to say, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Here you have the promise of God. Will you believe the promise of God? Will you believe, simple faith, that God will keep His Word? And I like the way God appeals to an Old Testament Scripture to prove that He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And so you and I have no concern about getting even with someone who has wronged us. God says, I'll take care of it. He says, I'll make everything right. He says, it's not your concern to get even. He says, it's your concern to win them to Christ. It's your concern to love them into the kingdom of the Savior. That's our job. And if you're busy getting even with someone, are you going to be able to win them to Christ? If you get that co-worker fired for their behavior towards you, and then you go and knock on the door or call them on the phone and say, hey, I'd like to share Christ with you. You think they're going to listen? Not for a second. They're going to kick you off their porch or they're going to hang up the phone. But if you love them, and they get fired because God took care of His end of the bargain, and then you were genuinely sympathetic, and you do what you can to help them in their time of need and crises, and you share Christ during that moment, I think you've earned an audience. I think you've earned an audience. God's ways are perfect. God's ways are always right. We need to learn to just simply trust Him and follow Him. The seventh demonstration of extreme love is in verse 20. Simply be kind. Be kind. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. The coals of fire on his head is in reference to the conviction that his own mind, his own conscience is bringing in his spirit and in his soul. He's going to have difficulty sleeping at night. He's not going to be able to figure out why you're still nice to them when they're treating you in that way. Sometimes we see people so hard and we think they don't have a conscience. We think they're not going to feel these things. And this is where we've got to go back to trusting God's Word. God says this is the right way. He says this is the way to handle the matter. Be kind. Do good to them at every opportunity that you have to do them good. And love them. Demonstrate that extreme agape love for their person and for their soul. God says you do that, you may not see what's going on in their heart. You may not see what's going on in their life. He says, but trust me, you're having an effect. Look at the Apostle Paul when he was out stoning and killing Christians. I believe it all began. He was indoctrinated. He had learned as a Pharisee the dangers of Christianity, of that way as they called it. But he finally had his big moment when Stephen appeared before the Sanhedrin. And Stephen, that great gospel preacher, preached Christ to those wicked and profane men, religious leaders of the Jews. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. They shut him up. They drug him outside and they stoned him. And there's Saul of Tarsus who was holding their coats in order that those men might kill, martyr Stephen. You know, he never forgot that day, ever. The crowd of Christians, or Christians that may have witnessed that, would look at Saul and say, man, this guy's a murderer. He's as cold as they come. Probably doesn't have any, probably has antifreeze flowing through his blood veins rather than blood. But you know what? They didn't know what was going on in his heart. They didn't know how he was wrestling with the Holy Spirit of God, kicking against the pricks, the Bible tells us, until finally he had his confrontation with Christ. That person that you have difficulty dealing with, you don't know what's going on. God just says, be faithful, be kind, love them, and continue to demonstrate extreme love. Because there's going to come a moment in their life when they have their confrontation with Jesus Christ. How will you have represented Him to them? Will they listen? And so God tells us, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Extreme love. The Christian is commanded to demonstrate it to the lost. Won't you be obedient to our Savior today? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We know that what we heard today, what we read in Your Scriptures, is a difficult task for the common man. But Father, we understand that we have an uncommon Savior dwelling within our heart, making all of this possible. Father, help us determine in our own lives to demonstrate this uncanny and extreme love towards the lost that they might be saved. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.